Good morning. Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. Amen. Do you know what Palm Sunday is all about? You're all very quiet. This means yes. This means no. This means okay. All right. Palm Sunday, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Every celebration is about Jesus. Now, before we do that, before we go into the message, the important announcement has to do with our EGM, and that has to do with something good, not something bad. Sometimes people have EGM, it's usually something bad that they have to have a meeting. Ours is good. You have trusted the board to make many decisions, but this time this decision has to involve the whole church, because it involves a bigger thing that we are moving into. Amen? Good news? All right. Every move, every progressive move that we take is good for the church. So we've got to have the EGM. We've got to have you present. I'll be coming a little earlier and having one with the Tamil section just to announce what we are about to do, get their feedback, and then also one with the English section after our service. So that is very, very important. The second most important announcement, more important than the EGM, is this. Next Friday is our Good Friday service. Now, the reason why we have big plays or dramas is not because the church has to do it. It is so that we want to preach the gospel in a creative manner so that your loved ones can come to know Christ. And those of you who are involved in the play, and those of you who have been attending church for so long, this is a good opportunity for them to come and see the drama. Come and see all that we are doing in church. Let them know, you know, that God really loves them. This is so important. Good Friday is good for us. It was bad for the Savior in that he had to die on a cross for us. But it's good news, because since that time, our lives have been completely transformed. Can I hear an amen? So it is good news, absolutely good news, and you don't want to keep good news to yourself. So you want to invite your loved ones. Can I hear an amen? You're going to bring your loved ones, relatives, friends, enemies, anyone you can meet off the street, bring them. Amen. All right. Let them get saved, man. You can turn an enemy into a friend just by loving them. Hallelujah. All right. This morning we're going to go into the Palm Sunday. I'm going to go into the scripture in just a little while. Now, as I said, it's all about Jesus. I'm sure you've heard many messages on Palm Sunday. Even heard a message on the donkey, haven't you? All right. A message on the donkey. And the donkey, the message on the donkey is really interesting, because God has got many things to say about donkeys in the Bible. I guess because it relates a lot to us. And so the story is told of this donkey who carried Jesus into the city. And after, you know, everybody shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, that's why we sang the song Hosanna this morning. After everybody sang the Hosannas, then nothing happens to the donkey. You realize that after Jesus goes into the temple, nothing is mentioned about the donkey. It tells us what happens before, that it is tied up, it is, you know, outside of the house, it is tied to a pole, somebody has to come in and loose it. All those things about the donkey. But then eventually, after Jesus gets off, nothing is mentioned about the donkey. Now, some of you don't really know what happened to the... Do you know what happened to the donkey? Well, the donkey gets old. And like in India, they have home for old cows. In Israel, they have home for old donkeys. And so now the donkey is in a home for the old donkeys. And he's sitting there and talking about the good old days, like many of us old people like to do, especially like in our cell groups, my cell group, where all the old people sit down, slowly take off, you know, make sure they adjust their false teeth and start to chew on kachang, and then we discuss old things. So the old donkey is now discussing old things, and he's talking about the time where, you know, he walked into the street one day into Jerusalem, and everybody in Jerusalem came out just to praise him. Yeah. For the first time, they took out their cloaks and put it on the ground, and they took out their palm leaves and began to feed him and wave at him and shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, donkey, you are so beautiful. Now, we know that the whole story of Palm Sunday is not about the donkey. We can get carried away with the palms and everything else, like the little boy who came back after, you know, who was at home. He didn't attend church on Palm Sunday, and his father came back home carrying a palm. And, you know, the boy asks the father, he says, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, we celebrated Palm Sunday." He said, "What's Palm Sunday, Daddy?" And he said, "Well, Palm Sunday is when Jesus enters and everybody shouts, Hosanna, and wave their palms." And the little boy said, "Every Sunday I go, he doesn't show up. This Sunday I went, he shows up." And everybody waves, Hosanna. I pray this morning God shows up. Amen. God shows up. So let's get into the scripture this morning. We're going to go into the Gospel of Luke. Are you ready to read the Bible? All right, you're going to read it with me, modern translation. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 29 onwards. All right, let's read it together. When he arrived at the stables of Anaya near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, "When you enter the next village, you will find tethered there a donkey's young colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone stops you and asks, 'What are you doing?' just tell them this: it is needed for the Lord of all." The two who were sent entered the village and found the colt exactly like Jesus said. While they were untying the colt, the owners approached them and asked, "What are you doing?" And the disciples replied, "We need this donkey for the Lord of all." They brought the colt to Jesus. Then they placed their prayer shawls on its back, and Jesus rode it as he descended the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem. As he rode along, people spontaneously threw their prayer shawls on the path in front of him like a carpet. And as soon as he got to the bottom of the Mount of Olives, the crowd of his followers shouted with loud bursts of ecstatic joy over all the mighty wonders of power they had witnessed. They shouted over and over, "High praises to God for the one who comes as King in the name of the Lord. Heaven's peace and glory from the highest realms now comes to us." Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, a few points that we just want to bring very quickly this morning. Number one, the message is entitled, "They Shouted." They shouted. So, first of all, they shouted at his entrance. Now, this is a wonderful thing. They shouted with excitement. There was tremendous excitement in the air, because whenever Jesus enters a situation, everything changes. Can I hear an amen? Everything changes. Whether he enters into a home or he enters into when he's invited to a wedding, everything changes. When he comes into a situation, everything changes. That's why we often tell people, invite Jesus into your heart. Invite him into your life. Invite him into your homes. Invite him into your business. Because there's nothing more wonderful than inviting Christ into a situation. Everything begins to change, man. Huh? He comes inside Peter's home, and Peter's mother-in-law, who has a deathly fever, gets healed instantly. Wonderful things begin to take place when Jesus comes in. He's sitting there having a meal with the disciples. Somebody invited him to the home. He's sitting there. A woman comes in, breaks the alabaster box, and the whole home is filled with this wonderful aroma. Where Jesus is, wonderful things happen. So they are shouting with excitement because they have seen what he can do. They have seen the miracles that happen whenever he is present. They had never seen this. For more than 400 years, God kind of shut the heavens over Israel, because they were disobedient to him. So nothing was happening. There was no prophet in the land. There was no voice from God. There were no miracles. Nothing was taking place. In fact, this is the only time where miracles start happening, when Jesus comes on the scene. Before that, they had words from God. They had visitations from God. They were delivered by mighty, judges. You had Samson. You had all the other guys, Gideon and all of them. But no miracles were taking place until Jesus came on the scene. So it's all about Jesus. When we begin to invite him into a situation, everything changes. So they shouted with great excitement. Come on, amen. You know, one of the things is God knew that they would eventually shout against him. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But yet, he welcomed the shouting of the people. They tried to silence the people. Tell them to stop shouting, they said. And Jesus said, no. Because the moment I start to do that, then even the rocks will shout out. Church, we need to understand something. That God loves to hear the shouts of his people. When we begin to release our voices in praise. You know, in the Old Testament, there were all kinds of sacrifices. All kinds of sacrifices were offered before God. I mean, you read the Old Testament. My wife said she was going through Leviticus. And she said, I thank God, man, we don't live in that time. Because so many sacrifices, so many kinds of feasts that they had. Different times they had to offer this and offer that. And all kinds of sacrifices. But when it comes to the new covenant, there are only two sacrifices that we give. One is through our offering and our gifts. The other is the sacrifice of our lips. Not just the sacrifice of our hearts, but the sacrifice of our lips. For out of the abundance of the heart, come on, the mouth is going to say something. Can I hear an amen? Now some people go, you know, like, why do y'all shout so much, huh? You know, can't you praise God in your heart? God is not deaf. The other day I walked in and somebody was walking out. They saw me when I walked, you know, and this dark figure just coming in. And I, Pastor. Really scared me. You know. Hey, listen. When Jesus comes in, and when we shout praises, he doesn't go, you scared me, man. You shouted, you're so loud. In fact, when you get to heaven, some of you are going to be very out of place. Read your Bibles. It says that the people shouted so loud, it sounded like the sound of many waterfalls. Thunderous sounds. If you have ever been near to a waterfall, I don't mean the ones we have. I mean the big ones. If you've ever been close to the Niagara Falls, which was a disappointment really, it's not as big as we think it is, but the sound is loud, the rushing waterfalls, and the sound of many waterfalls, and there is this great sound in heaven of multitudes shouting their praises to God, and a voice comes out from the throne, which is God himself, saying, shh, be quiet, now. You're making me nervous. No, it says, shout some more. Praise him even more. Raise the level of your shout. Now, the last, I think 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you, scientists have studied, and they said, whenever you shout, was there a football match last night? Any, none of you guys support football? At least one guy there is sadly wearing a Liverpool shirt, but besides that, when there's a goal scored, if you've ever been in a live football match, I mean, the crowd goes wild. And every time there's a shout released into the atmosphere, they say sounds scratch the atmosphere. It scratches the atmosphere. So when the shouts of God's people, they scratch the principalities and powers of the air. They scratch them away. Things that stand in between, they kind of scratch them away when God's people learn how to shout. Some of you are afraid of your voices, but God loves to hear your voices. Oh, your pastor, sometimes very hard because music's so loud, I can't even hear myself singing. Never mind, God can hear you. He can hear you. But if you whisper, then it's going to be a bit difficult for him to hear you. Shout a little bit more. Praise him. Shout the praises of God. Listen, I've learned this when I was just a young Christian, maybe about a year and a half. And I was in Bible college. I've shared this testimony with you. And it was such a bad time. I mean, I come out from a different culture altogether. And I was just a 1.5-year-old, a 2-year-old Christian, actually 2-year-old Christian. And I was thrown into Bible college. So the culture of Christians was different from the culture of a hippie. How many of you know that? Okay, totally different, all right? Totally two worlds apart. But now I'm there, and the way they speak and everything, it was tough. It was tough for me. And then once again, getting back to books, and my brain was cooked because of drugs and all that kind of stuff. I could not study at all. So everything was working against me. I became, you know, angry. I began to fight with people. And then, you know, eventually, time for worship. And I'll never forget that. And it came time for worship, man. I'm standing right there in the front. Worship was good. And I did the right thing. I raised my hands to worship. I really wanted to praise God. I raised my hand to worship Him. And then suddenly I hear this voice inside, you know, going, "You hypocrite. You fight with people, quarrel with them, and then you come here in the morning and you're going, hallelujah. You're a hypocrite, man." And then I hear another voice. This was gentle. This was strong, but so gentle. And it says this, "Praise Him, for He is worthy of praise." It has nothing to do with me, man. Suddenly I discovered this has nothing to do with how I felt about myself. When we come into the temple of God and know who God is and what He is doing and all the things that He's capable of doing, He is God, and I am the Creator. And I raised my hands. I deliberately pushed my hands up. And this, I'm just a young believer. And I said, "Lord, I praise You. I worship You." My goodness, the presence of God came down over me so strong. See, my sins didn't matter to God, actually. He just wanted to see whether I loved Him or not in spite of who I was. And He accepted me. Hallelujah. So the praises of God, they praised Him because they were completely excited about what He could do. They were filled with excitement. They were filled with enlightenment. Never had they ever heard messages like the messages of Jesus. He was so different. The way He spoke. You know, we are doing the drama. And I listen, man, you guys got to come. A lot of effort has been put into it. They planned the whole thing. I was here yesterday and trying to help them out in a little bit of the acting. And I was saying to them, you know, don't just say what Jesus said. Say what Jesus felt in what He said. I mean, for example, when He talked about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we have this image of Christ, this Holy One going, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed. That's not Jesus, man. He's talking about extremely happy. The word blessed is not, "Bless me, Father, bless me." It is more, "Make me happy, Father, make me happy." Bless me means make me happy. Give me a blessing. Give me something. Say something over my life. Prophesy over me so that I'll be a happy person. That's what blessing means. So He's going, blessed. It simply means extremely joyful, man. Huh? Extremely joyful. If you just get your hearts right before God, you shall see God. Blessed man, extremely happy you will be. If you just make peace with one another, you will be called children of God. For yours is the kingdom of God. I mean, that's the way He preached it. Not blessed. Blessed. That's a boring Jesus. That's not the Jesus I know from the Bible. The Jesus that I know filled people's hearts with excitement. Come on. They were enlightened like never before. Messages that they never heard. I mean, in the synagogue, it was boring. But when Jesus spoke, multitudes went out into the wilderness just to listen to Him speak, and they followed Him for days without food. That's why He had to feed them. Multitudes, 5,000 men besides women and children, followed Him who were hungry. Come on. Even until today, great men quote Jesus. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Give me the Christ of the Christians, but don't give me the Christian of the Christ." He was so disappointed how the church treated him, how Christians treated him. But he would quote Jesus on and off and on. Great men would always quote Jesus because His message. They were filled with enlightenment, excitement, enlightenment. They were filled with expectation because whenever they followed Him, something good was going to happen. Church, we need to praise Him. Shout our praises because we live expecting things to happen. Tomorrow's going to be a better day than it was today. Come on. Tomorrow you celebrate a greater Christ than you do today. Today we wave palms, we say Palm Sunday, but tomorrow is going to be a greater day. Look forward to your Mondays. It is not a black Monday or a blue Monday. It's going to be an exciting Monday because you come to church on Sunday to hear that this Jesus would follow you. He's going to be with you and He's going to bless you in a tremendous way. Make your life joyful. Come on, church. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. They were filled with expectation. I pray that we would live, come to church with an expecting heart. I shared with you before, I would take my bus from Airitam side, come all the way to Datuk Keramat, where this is Penang, if you know Penang, all the way to Datuk Keramat, you know that place behind prison. Then we would walk at the side road all the way, you know, to go to our church, Penang First Assembly of God. And all the way, as a young Christian, just having received Christ, all the way, I would ask God, God, I thank you I'm going to church because something good is going to happen to me. I know you're going to speak to my heart. I couldn't talk to the other believers because I was the only weird one. They were all good people, and I didn't know how to carry on a conversation. So I would just talk to the Lord, go inside church, sit there, you know, go straight into the prayer room, pray, then come sit down, sermon finished, go inside the prayer room so that nobody would talk to me. I didn't know how to carry on a conversation. Then finish service, I would go back all the way out, Datuk Keramat, take the bus back to Ireland. Listen, all the time expecting God to do something. And every time, God shows up. That's why I come to church excited, because I know when I come expecting something, He will speak to me. Amen. Okay, they shouted at His entrance, they shouted at His examination, right? When He was being tried, they shouted. What did they shout? Crucify Him. Same crowd, men, same crowd. Now the tune had begun to change. They were shouting things that, you know, you wouldn't expect them to shout. But listen, that He knew that they would change in their whole acceptance or the whole way they would respond to Him, and yet He wanted them to praise Him when He entered. His heart desires the praises of His people. That's why in the new covenant, He says, you don't bring anything to me. Just come and give me the sacrifice of your lips. Sing praises to me. Shout the praises to me. Shout your hallelujahs. We sing that song, raise a hallelujah. Raise it, man. Hallelujah, raise it. You've got to learn how to sing for joy. Not sing because you are joyful, but sing because you are not. Like a boy sings for his supper. You sing for joy. We misunderstand that. We think you've got to be joyful. That, well, Izila, y'all can praise God because y'all don't know what I am going through. Y'all don't know the trouble I'm having at home. You do not know how my dog treats me. You know, that kind of stuff. Listen, you sing not because your dog treats you well. You sing because your dog is not treating you well. And you need to sing. You need to sing. Come on, amen. I'm a big country fan. Big country fan. Well, have you heard country songs? They're always singing. They're singing. I mean, the guy has lost his wife, he has lost his best friend, his dog, he's lost just about everything, but the guy's singing, man. He's still singing. He's singing his sorrow. He's still singing. Little children like to sing. You do not know what song they are singing. They just come up with a song. They're singing. It is something that God puts within us. But as I said the last time, don't let some thing rob you of your song. They sang at His examination. They sang at His execution. You are the Savior, right? Save yourself. Physician, heal yourself. If you can deliver people, deliver yourself. Now, my main thing, now I just want to go into the main message itself, and that is this. Why the change? Why the change? Number one, it's because they completely misunderstood His mandate. They completely misunderstood His mandate. See, let's see if we have a similar situation. They were living under Roman rule, okay? Everything was different, dominated by the Roman Empire. Language was different from Jewish language. If those of you who are going to Israel, you will discover how different they are and how they want to maintain their difference, okay? Their language is different. The whole economic situation is different because they have got shekels. Even until today, they use shekels. Romans use denarii. And they will not touch Roman coins in that sense.
Really?
They will not. Why? Because they've got an image of Caesar on it. They're very strict concerning that. Therefore, they have shekels which they will use. It cannot be used. It has got no value, no monetary value. You cannot go outside to a money changer in Jordan or anywhere else and change that money. It is used only in Israel. Malaysian ringgit, at least you go to India, you can change, right? Okay, you all haven't been to India, all right. So, you can change. You can still change. You know, of course, you get very little, but you can still change. Shekels, zero value outside of Israel, right? Their whole religious system, the racial problems that they face, they look down on the Romans as dogs. Any Gentile is a dog. Every other race is a dog. Just like some people, every other race is a devil. Huh? Got or not? Only the other race good. Everybody else is devil. White devil, black devil, yellow devil, brown devil. Okay. So they face the same thing. Okay? They had this kind of a problem. The religion, of course, was totally different. And they were being dominated. Everywhere they turned, there were statues of Caesar and all the other Caesars. There were busts. The head of just Caesar everywhere. And every time you came near a statue, you had to bow. It was forced worship. Everything, you know, kind of reminds me of our country in many ways. It was all for the Romans, all right, under this domination. So they expected an emperor, new emperor, to overthrow the other one, so they rejected Emmanuel. They wanted a soldier to come in, so they rejected the Savior. They didn't realize that Jesus said this. I think I've got the scripture up there. What did Jesus say? For the Son of Man, everybody knows the scripture. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not he who was lost, but that which was lost. What did we lose in the Garden of Eden? What did we lose? We lost our intimacy with God that was gone, our fellowship, our relationship with God, completely gone. We lost that in the garden. We lost our authority. Man had lost his authority. Man had lost the entire provision of all that is good. Everything that Adam enjoyed in the garden was provided by God. It was a special provision outside of the ordinary creation. He created the entire world, and then he planted a garden so that he could put Adam and Eve in it. It was special provision for his children. The rest of it, animals, all that, they can enjoy everything else outside of the garden. But on the inside of the garden, it was a special provision for his children. Are you hearing me? Because now when we come back, he came to seek and to save everything that mankind lost. Now we are restored into that place. The first Adam failed. The last Adam, there's not going to be another one. No such thing as second Adam, third Adam, just the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. When he came, he's referred to as the last Adam. Why? Because he now takes us and places us back into everything that we lost. Come on. So if there is a lack in any area of our lives, I want us to understand that the mandate of Christ is to restore back all that we lost, the provision, the dominion, everything that God has, the communion that he wanted us to have. He now says, I come to give you this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says this, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil. Everything that is not good, because God is good, come on, all of the time. There is nothing evil that comes from his presence. But everything that is not good that enters into our lives, he comes to seek and to save us from all of that, but also to destroy every device, every work of the enemy, what the enemy has tried to do. For this reason, the Son of God came. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. Who needs the doctor? Who needs the doctor when they are healthy? Do you need one when you are healthy or when you are sick? So he says, that's why I came. Because you need me. Come on. And they didn't understand his mandate. They did not understand that this is why he came. He came for a greater purpose than just delivering them physically out of, you know, the politics that we have. And our problem with us is sometimes we pray that God deliver us from everything that is material and political, whatever we have, the circumstances that we are in. We are always praying along those lines. Everything that is physical. When God comes to do something even greater in our hearts. Come on. Amen? We misunderstand his mandate. He comes to work within us. He who begins a good work in you will see to it that the work is complete. Can I hear an amen? All right? So the work that he's doing is on the inside. So that I can be in a hut made of atep and on a floor of mud and have nothing much to eat, and yet I can say, Lord, I praise you, I thank you that you are my God. I'm not delivered to have better things in life. I'm delivered so that I can be a better person to face the things of life. Can I hear an amen? Huh? May God help us to understand his message, his mandate. He has come to do this for me. Number two, they misunderstood his message. They misunderstood his message. Everything that he taught them. It's a difficult message, isn't it? The message that Jesus gives. Come on. Love your enemies. Good night. Is that tough or not? Tough for me. I don't know about you, but tough for me, man. When I see certain things that, you know, that I know is so unjust. How to love? Pray for those who despitefully use you or persecute you. Come on. That's a tough mess, especially to a people who have been dominated, who are treated like less than second-class citizens. They were treated like nothing. They were treated as slaves. And forced labor. Executions. Women fancy of the Roman Governor General. That's what, how they lived. Finances. I mean, they were robbed by tax collectors, hired by their own people, given a king that they did not want, Herod, who was an Edomite. Everything that they did not want, it was there, man, staring them in the face. And here he comes with this message saying, love your enemies. Somebody slaps you on the right, turn the left. Good Lord, come on. What you doing to us, man? What you doing to us? That's why in our Bible study, by the way, there is no Bible study this coming Tuesday, okay? Because we are having it, we are having Easter and all of that, and then it is only the following week. So no Bible study this week. But in our Bible study, we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, he begins one of the things about forgiveness. He says, forgive us our sins. As we learn to forgive, as we start to forgive. Forgive me my sins so that I can forgive others their sins. In other words, Lord, it doesn't mean, one more time, those of you who attended Bible study, be patient, does not mean his forgiveness of me is dependent upon my forgiveness of another. Hear me out. Okay? Are you listening? Does not mean that if I don't forgive, therefore my sins are not forgiven. If that's the case, then it becomes by works. But the gospel is not by works, but by grace, are you saying? What is he saying? When you, Father, forgive me. Thank God he starts off with that one. Forgive me, I forgive others. As I understand your forgiveness of me, as I receive the power of your forgiveness, there is power when God forgives us. There is a sense of power that comes into your life where you know that you know your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Come on, amen. I'm absolutely sure that I bathe in the presence of God and in his grace, my sins are cleansed. When I understand that, how God could love me and forgive me, then it becomes easy for me to forgive somebody else. But when I don't understand that, then I find it very difficult to forgive other people. But once I know His forgiveness, amen, they misunderstood His message. The third thing, they misunderstood His methods. The way God does things is definitely not the way I would do things. I am so glad I am not Jesus. Because if I was, a lot of you would be left out of the plans that I have. No, I'm kidding. But the way He does things, man, so different for the things that God does. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Listen, which means we do not know anything about heavens. We think we do. Some people have visions of heaven which is totally not scriptural. Their visions of them, I had a vision of heaven. When I went there, I saw these mountains and flowing streams and people taking their fishing rods and going fishing. No, that's a heaven you'd like to create. That's a heaven you'd like. There are ways that we'd like God to do things like, why doesn't He answer my need yesterday? Why is there this delay? What's happening? Why do I have to go through certain things? The other day in our cell group, we were talking about, why is it when I prayed for somebody, instead of them becoming better, they died? Of cell group. Yeah, we face that. And the thing about this church, let me encourage your faith. God is still the healer. Although He does not heal in answer to my prayer, but He does heal people. Come on. We have to understand that God is still God. This is where faith comes in. I don't understand what You are doing, God, but I do trust that You are good. And the plans that You have are good plans. And the end that You have of those plans are good endings. I don't understand. I don't see the big picture. I cannot even see beyond tomorrow, beyond today. I don't know. But I know who holds tomorrow. I know He has it in His hands. And I know He's absolutely sure. For God is the same. He lives in my tomorrows already. Amen. How He does what He does, I don't understand. I just have to say, Lord, I trust You. And this is what faith is all about. When we say, You are the King of my life, I crown You King. I'm not going to abdicate. I'm not going to ask You to abdicate that position. I'm not going to take Your throne. You are King over my life. Hosanna to the King. I worship You in spite of everything. Come on. Because they didn't understand the way He did things. They expected Him to come in. He who can calm a storm can just move His hand and an army can be destroyed. He could have done that, but He didn't. Why don't you do what I expect you to do? Why do people get frustrated? Because expectations are not met. You expect certain things, and when it does not happen, you become frustrated. But when you begin to say, God, I just trust You. I don't understand it. I leave it in Your hands. Then you're going to relieve yourself of a lot of stress. A lot of frustrations. Amen? When we begin to say, Lord, I just trust in You. Can I hear an amen? Would you stand with me? Yes.